This is Vision View Sports Radio.
Call us now, 010-001-0861. Formula One, drag racing, karting, all things motorsport with Prince Dweni.
Okay, so I got to do it and formally introduce you, Prince, because apparently at this stage, after 3 years of us working together, people still may not know who you are.
Yeah.
So Prince is resident motorsport Formula One guy here on the show. Anytime we have to talk things that go really fast, particularly cars, Prince is the guy that we call. Prince, good morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you, man?
I'm wondering why I'm looking up at everybody. Then I realize this chair.
But you know what? You do look up to us in one way or the other. You know, we feel very honored. Okay. Thank you.
Okay, I walked in on something and started waiting.
Yeah,
before.
For the sake of the vibe, I'm going with it. I'm going with it, Prince. Okay, this chair doesn't go any higher, so I guess we're stuck with this. Prince, how are you doing, man? How was the week?
The week was good. It was that last stretch until, you know, Formula One resumed again.
Yeah.
I was getting seriously bored. Yeah. I don't lie to you.
Yeah.
You can only take so many replays and reruns and hypothesizing. But Formula One can give you so many stats from like ridiculous angles, from measuring the weight of Lewis Hamilton's hair, like predicting the outfit he'd take on that Thursday. Like it's just been wild. But we're back in proper racing, man. Apart from Formula One, it's also just been a great week. Very busy.
Yeah, literally been a month, yeah? Since the Hungarian GP and everything that happened there. Esteban Ocon probably still celebrating that race win. It was absolute scenes, man. We still haven't forgiven our man Valtteri Bottas for what he did in that particular race. But we all get a chance for do-over, and this is why I love Formula One, why I love sport in general, right? Because it so often gives you a chance to do things over. Belgian GP is where we head to next this weekend, actually. So much excitement about that race, Prince. From the Hungarian GP, what story are you looking at the most going into Belgium?
Oof, jeez, there's a lot of them for me. My top would be, naturally, man, it's color, it's painted the whole season. It's been coming, Lewis versus Max, easily. I definitely wouldn't have called Lewis being ahead of the championship, to be very honest, simply because of the deficit the Mercedes had. In terms of performance and aerodynamic ability and strength in particular compared to Red Bull. But he's done it. He's 8 points ahead in the Drivers' Championship, and Mercedes is ahead also in the Constructors' Championship. So I think that continues. The battle continues on both fronts. It's very close and hard to call. So we'll see what comes. You don't know what can be dealt to each track in each circuit. Nothing is set in stone. So, you know, there's no telling what's going to happen. Second is Ferrari versus McLaren. That is my favorite battle so far. They're on par in terms of Constructors' Championship points with 163 points apiece. And to zoom in a bit more on that, Charles Leclerc versus Carlos Sainz. That is also a very close one. They are 3 points apart on the Drivers' Championship. And they've made a significant contribution to what is Ferrari's bid at the moment for the championship. Albeit, maybe not as strong as compared to McLaren, because of McLaren's overall straight line speed and I think a better balance between a fast track and slow track setup for McLaren look a bit better in that department, whereas Ferrari have made a bit more concessions and have a bit of a slower car, but it does handle well when it goes to tracks that suit it, i.e. Baku and Monaco. So we'll see if we still have more of that kind of thing going forward. But that is one of the closest battles we've seen so far. But to be fair, Daniel Ricciardo has not helped at all. I think McLaren would be much further if Lando Norris wasn't sort of fighting this battle on his own. He kind of has been carrying the team. He has been carrying the team.
Which is not what we expected at all.
Exactly, with Daniel joining the team.
Mm.
Here's what I want us to talk about. And I think you spoke about change, and you look at how things have changed just in terms of how the pendulum swing has changed.
Mm.
It started off with Verstappen having that 33-point lead to an 8-point deficit. And you have to feel, if you're a Red Bull fan, Max Verstappen fan, that this is literally the last swing at Hamilton with the next maybe 3-4 races. If not now, then never.
It's tough. It's very tough to call. I think purely because Verstappen has the equipment this year, you know. He's a different guy to someone who never had a championship contending car, let's say not championship winning car, because we that hasn't been confirmed in the turbo hybrid era. But is it a black and white thing to say Uti, it's really make or break for Red Bull at this point? You can say yes because several factors. They've got a few things that have got them their backs against the rope. For example, Max Verstappen is on his last engine at the moment, where he gets an allocation of three engines
throughout the season
without getting penalties. If he's forced by damage or reliability issues to get a fourth engine, he gets a grid penalty. And he's at that abyss where he's at the third engine, thanks to just the terrible run of luck he's had in the build-up to this Grand Prix. So factors like that definitely go up against Max and put Max and the Verstappen camp in a corner where it's like, geez, every race counts and you've got to make the most of it. So you go into a Belgian Grand Prix, for example, possibly rain on the weekend, possibly safety cars and accidents. You never know what's going to happen. Spa has always given us something to be excited about. And Max and the Red Bull camp, Checo as well, would be hoping that things go their way and there isn't even the slightest thing that goes wrong. Because if it does, it's a bigger points deficit at the end of the day in the championship, both for drivers and the constructors.
Prince, you talk Checo Perez. I mean, he certainly needs to do more.
Yeah.
There was a moment early on in the season where we lauded him here on this show.
Mm.
And I think many in the F1 spaces for how well he was riding as a second to Max Verstappen.
Yeah.
And then the wheels have come off quite literally for him in the past couple of races. In keeping with, I want you to talk to that, but also in keeping with what you've said about the engines and Max and Perez now ultimately being on their third engines each. Yeah. This season, and I'm just looking back, and there could be events that I've missed. If it does go the way of Hamilton, you're looking at the moment that we had with the tires, where Max Verstappen is the shoe-in to win the tires go.
Yeah.
That crash with Hamilton, ultimately, that took him out of the race at Silverstone. You're looking at what happened last week, in Hungary, with Valtteri Bottas and the injuries and the damage to the car that he had. And ultimately, he was a competitor in that race. Mm. He wasn't really there to win it at all. I don't think there was any aspirations or ambitions of that because it just wasn't possible.
Mm.
And now this engine thing.
Mm.
I'm not sure how much has gone wrong in one driver's season, but it seems everything that could potentially go wrong in a season where, you said it, favors Max Verstappen because he has all the equipment on his side.
Mm.
It just seems everything that can go wrong is going wrong for him.
He needs to go to the river, fam.
Yeah, no, and I didn't want to go there.
Yeah,
I don't want people saying I'm...
You know what he needed to do? To take the knee.
Nah, maybe.
Ooh.
Take the knee and the stars align. Mm. Sheesh, maybe you're onto something, Opie.
You know what, the universe is watching, you never know.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, it's just been luck. Luck just hasn't been on his side. And you're absolutely right. Everything that could go wrong, it really has gone wrong with Max, from crashes, penalties, and potential of this starting from the back of the grid at whichever race they choose, by the way. So they have to choose it strategically as well. And preferably would be at a race where they know they're particularly strong in the build up from the back and overtaking and don't have any major deficits. So it really has to be done as soon as possible. Spa would be a good place to just get it over and done with, but you just don't know what you're sacrificing in the long run. So you're absolutely right. I think it hasn't been a performance challenge that has seen Max Verstappen lose the kind of advantage that he had in the start of the season and then seen fall away. Definitely has been on the luck side of things, which there isn't much to say about because, again, you just never know what's going to come. Hamilton's consistency definitely has helped him, though. He doesn't drop the ball when it counts. Sure, Hungary happened, where he chose to stay out on the grid. He and the team elected for him to stay out on the grid. But that also was a compromise, which was the lesser evil at the time. Get into the pits and then be slowed and held back by the traffic, who, of course, pit the entire field, all 19 cars, apart from his, pit ahead of him. His pit was the first one at pit entry. So either way, he would have been stuck in traffic. But It's been a lot less errors and bad luck, I'd say, for Lewis Hamilton, which has played in his favor in addition to his consistency. But going to Checo Perez, which is, I think, the point you opened on, he, man, I had big hopes for him. I got into a nice debate with someone on Twitter yesterday about the driver pairing between Checo Perez and Max and Valtteri and Lewis. And my view was that Checo and Max potentially are a stronger pairing. Results haven't necessarily been the greatest. History has proved that Valtteri and Lewis are obviously head and shoulders above the rest. The entire turbo hybrid era belongs to either Valtteri and Lewis or Lewis and Nico Rosberg. That is without question. But reason why I still back Checo is because he has a lot of potential as someone who's a strong driver. It's unquestioned that he's strong and has pace. Sure, he hasn't been able to out-qualify Max or actually challenge him in qualifying at all to get near him, which is really where he needs to sort of come full circle. Race pace he's shown that he has, but the consistency began to lack. Now it's a point where, dude, you've had your break, you've had your 1 month off, and you have 12 races to prove that you're actually the right guy for the job. And I think, given how Red Bull usually recruit drivers, in a situation where you're second to Max Verstappen, Pierre Gasly dropped the ball, right? But he's recovering, so you give him his chance. Alex Albon also dropped the ball. And for him, irrecoverable, it seems. Yuki Tsunoda, he's yet to get his chance. But the theme there is young drivers all the time, hardly getting second chances. So you're looking at someone who is used to pressure. He's used to those situations. He's been through all of those, and he can absorb the blows. And I think he can muster or put together recovery better than any of the drivers we've seen in second place at Red Bull, better than anyone else. Of course, this is all in theory and in a nice little cloud that I play in Formula One. So not everyone's going to believe that or agree with that. But I think there's a lot more potential for Checo to actually turn it around. It just remains to be seen when he gets on song.
And looking at the track specs, Prince, a lot of elevation changes, but also the fastest circuit with the highest average speed. What does this mean? Who does this favor?
This favors the car that has the most powerful engine and straight line speed without giving too much drag, without causing too much drag, so as to put the car at a disadvantage. Drag is just the effect of like having a parachute attached to the back of your car and pulling you back the faster you go. And that is genuinely the effect of all Formula One cars. But it gets to a point where it's too much, and it's now weighing against the performance of the car. Mercedes usually find themselves in that sort of space where you've got a high-speed circuit, and it's so much speed that it plays into their sweet spot, into their perfect performance bracket, but then a little bit past that and becomes too much drag. But they've handled it so well. And managed to rein their car in such a beautiful manner for the past six or 7 years. You can hardly tell that they struggle. Red Bull, I would say, also another team that would be able to be strong enough at Spa. Their engine, pound for pound versus Mercedes, I wouldn't say they have as powerful an engine, but they've made enough strides to get the best out of their car. And I don't think they have a car that produces as much drag as a Mercedes car. So on a power basis, because they have a slight deficit to Mercedes, they actually have the advantage, ironically enough. So their car doesn't outrun itself, so to speak. So at Spa, I would say Red Bull are in a bit of a sweeter spot than Mercedes. But that Mercedes is in the hands of two very capable drivers. You can't rule out how well they understand their car and how long they've had a chance to actually work on that kind of setup for that period of time. Whereas Red Bull are in a sort of transition period. Some might argue against it, but this year has sort of swung in Red Bull's favor. And I think the fact that they're now working on their power unit a bit more and focusing on that puts them on the back step in certain areas, but you've hardly been able to tell that they are learning because, they've led the championship for so long. So it's a 50-50, I would say, between a Red Bull and Mercedes, coming from different perspective. One is sort of on the ascending path and getting a car that's powerful enough to dominate at fast circuits and at slow circuits, whereas the other, it's more familiar territory and trying to catch up also in certain aspects. So, yeah.
Prince, going into a race weekend, the big conversation is around tire strategy. What are you hearing out of Pirelli? And also, I suppose, the easier question is what strategy do we go for in this race weekend?
Looking at the high speed, it looks like an even split between how much demand is going to be put and stress on the tires is going to be put. Because you have three sectors. Sectors 1 and 3 in particular, very demanding on the tires and a lot of abrasion. A lot of heat is going to be generated throughout those. But if you look at the middle sector, it's a bit slower, a bit less demanding, which kind of offsets the effect sectors 1 and 3 would have. So Pirelli have gone for something that accommodates for both then. They're in their mid-range where you've got a compound that accommodates for longevity. So it's not going to be something that you're looking at sort of like hot sprints or, you know, quicker times or very much more aggressive driving. Drivers will be looking to maintain their tires a bit more. So Pirelli have gone on to start with their hard C2s, which can have a duration of about 34 laps. But that also isn't a guarantee because you don't know what's going to happen in the start. There could be a safety car in lap 3, 4, 5, or whatever the case may be, which then switches up compounds like we saw last year. Last time around, I think lap 10 or lap 11 or something like that, we had a safety car, which allowed for other teams to play with different compounds. But teams eventually then gravitated to the harder compounds, starting on a medium to a hard or a hard to a medium, because of just how fast that track is. So that's the kind of bracket we're going to be looking at teams playing in. A lot of the teams, in particular the higher performing teams, the top two and top three, were on mediums at the time, which does give you a better start because it is the softer compound and it does offer you better grid position, which I'd say is the smarter one. If you look at how difficult it is to follow where the longer straights are concerned in sectors 1 and 3, if there's a Max Verstappen behind you and you're Lewis Hamilton leading, obviously Lewis Hamilton's not going to give Max the advantage or allow him the benefit of slipstream where he can help it. You know, so those kind of tactics of putting drivers in uncomfortable positions would benefit you having a harder tire and helping you go the distance to sort of take the blows.
All right, Prince. So you know what we'll do? We'll park it right over there. I think we've kind of built up everything around the race, right? The circuit, the tire plan, and strategy. We'll dive more into mid-pack and beyond.
Radio with a vision. Vision View Sports Radio.